unto the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon's an interesting book. It's really a love story, a romance, or a love song. And chapter 1, verse 1 gives the title of the book, Song of Songs. It's the best song. That's a trivia answer. It's the best song ever written. Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. The Bible tells us that in 1 Kings that Solomon wrote or spoke over 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. But this is the best of his songs. This morning recorded for us. It contrasts Ecclesiastes. Jason did a good job with Ecclesiastes last week. How Solomon wrote that really every pursuit, everything in life is empty without God. But this book takes on a different, flavor in that it's about love. And love, finding love, is the greatest fulfillment in life. And finding and tapping into his love is spiritually the greatest, the chief fulfillment in life. Song of Solomon. It's a love story. Finding love. Filled with metaphors. We read some this morning. Here's a metaphor is, a description of something given really not the literal application. And, back then, some of them given are, pretty interesting. Here's some examples. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Your teeth like a flock of shorn sheep. Your lips like a strand of scarlet. Your neck like the Tower of David. I like this one. This one's kind of cute. In chapter 1, verse 9, what we read this morning, it reads, I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. Man, I love you as much as my horse. In today's vernacular, it'd be like, man, I love you as much as my car. And my and God knows I love my car. How much Solomon loved the Shulamite woman. The Shulamite, she was written about. She was a shepherdess, a keeper of the vineyard. She was a country girl. And here she writes in response to Solomon's love, Solomon the king. What a love story, a romance, song. Going back and forth, mostly, my beloved, the Shulamite, refers to King Solomon as, and mostly throughout the book, King Solomon refers to the Shulamite woman as my love. Going back and forth, just praising one another with loving comments, all positive, all encouraging, expressing approval and acceptance and admiration. No negatives. We can all learn something from this book. It's a love relationship. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that between God the Father and the nation Israel, he referred to Israel, his people, as his bride. The New Testament, we liken the relationship to Christ and his church, how much he loves his church. It's really a book about a relationship. And between the Shulamite and Solomon, literally, but allegorically or figuratively and accepted by everyone, is Christ and his church. It speaks about how much he loves us. And we're going to look at that. I want to look at four verses. Look in verse 4, chapter 2. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. in verse 16, chapter 2. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds his flocks among the lilies. And that's repeated in chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flock among the lilies. And then finally, in chapter 7, verse 10, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. The Bible tells us how much he loves us. Let's pray. Lord, we as we continue through your word, Lord, we desire to know your love, to understand and sense your presence. Lord, to be aware of what you think about us and how much you love us. Lord, do minister your touch by your Spirit to our souls, to our hearts. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a book about a relationship. First, you know, I am my beloved's and he is mine. Belonging to, you know, belonging to Solomon, belonging to my love. I am my beloved's and he is mine. The Bible tells us, you know, that by virtue of creation, we belong to our Creator. He has claim over us because he made us. We belong to him, whether we recognize it or not. The Bible tells us in Psalms, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture, having claim over us, being his creature, he being our creator. He has claim over us. We belong to him by virtue of redemption. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, the Bible tells us, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, belonging to him, because of his work in our stead, as our substitute, being nailed to the cross. He has claim over us. We belong to him. He's our creator. We're his creature. He has claim over us. And by virtue of his substitutionary death upon the cross, he has claim upon us, over us, bought with a price, purchased at the cross. The Bible tells us about the group of people in the book of Revelation around the throne singing praises to the Lamb. You have redeemed us to God by your blood, praising him for bringing us back to God because of his shed blood. He has claim over us. He purchased us. We belong to him. Some people are in denial of that truth. Peter writes of false teachers and false prophets deny the Lord who bought them. They deny that they belong to him. But the truth is, we do. We all do. All man, he has claim upon their soul, upon their life. Especially the work of the cross, becoming a man, being nailed to the cross, dying in our place. We belong to him. He purchased us. The Bible tells us, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. This is a story of a love relationship, not of denying his claim, but of accepting his claim. I am my beloved's. I like that song by Bob Kilpatrick. I am yours, you are mine. You know, I'm the candle, you make me shine. I'm a cup, you pour in your wine. I am yours, you are mine. Paul, you know, accepted the claim that Jesus had over his life. The Bible tells us that, you know, Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am yours, you are mine. Paul accepting the claim, submitting to the claim. That's what this book's about. It's a love story about a Shulamite woman, really a type for the church. submitting, accepting His love, surrendering herself for all He's done. The Bible tells us, as in the scriptures we read, just a few. The one scripture we read is, His desire is towards me. I am my beloved's and He is mine. You know, God is for us. You know, who can be against us, the Bible tells us. His love for us. He's for us. He loves us. How He looks at us. Look in chapter 5, verse 12. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. As the Shulamite woman, you know, describing Him with metaphors, He's got eyes of dove. He loves us. How He looks at us. He looks at us with gentleness and compassion. John Corson, using this verse, uses this as an example. When Peter denied Jesus, you know, three times, the cock crowed. In the court, the Bible says that Jesus turned around and looked at him. The eyes in which He looked at Peter, Peter being in denial, were eyes of compassion, eyes of dove, eyes of peace, loving him. How He looks at us. He loves us. I am my beloved and He is mine. God is for me. God is for us. The Bible tells us that Peter wept bitterly. He was broken. That look just broke him in half. He started bawling because how much Jesus loves him. Even though He denied him. You know, we can be in denial ourselves. We could be in sin. You know, it could be a long time since we prayed or talked to Him or spent time with Him. How does He look at us? He loves us. Here's a Shulamite woman representing the church as one that responds to His love. Oh, man, I love you. Desiring to spend time with Him. Wanting to give herself to Him. Tapping into His love, the way He looks at us. The Bible tells us in John chapter 21, after Peter denied Him, the next time Peter seen Jesus, he was there on the beach frying fish. He said, Peter, do you love me? You know, as to say, I forgive you, Peter. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Dive into my love. I'm not condemning. Eyes of compassion, how He looks at us. Eyes of peace, eyes like a dove. Another scripture we read, He brought me to His banqueting table. I like this. And turn back to 1 Kings chapter 10. I just read this last week. How, you know, she's talking about King Solomon's table, banqueting table. When the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon concerning his name and all that, you know, he heard of his wisdom. She came to pay him a visit, bringing many gifts. In verse 5, chapter 10 of 1 Kings, she was stepping in. She seen the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. It took her breath away. She, you know, Queen of Sheba coming to you and explaining what Solomon did on a daily basis. Spreading a banquet table like unbelievable. It goes on to explain in Scripture on a daily provision. 10 grain-fed cattle, 150 bushels of fine flour, 300 bushels of coarsely ground flour, 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep, 100 sheep every day, as well as deers, gazelles, and geese. Spread a banquet table. Queen of Sheba came in. She was just overwhelmed. Here's the Shulamite woman saying, He brought me to His banqueting table. Here's the Shulamite woman, the country bumpkin, coming in. And here's the Queen of Sheba overwhelmed, taking her breath away. The way the waiters were dressed. The organization, Solomon, his management skills, the wisdom he had. How they served, the spread on the table. It was just, oh my God, it was overwhelming. Took her breath away. He brought me to His banqueting table, she says. The love of the beloved toward the church. She just being a country bumpkin. Me just being a peon from a broken family. He invites us to take part in his banqueting table, a table of abundance, his love. Chapter 1 we read this morning, how she admits her deformities. She says, I am dark. I got too much sun. She goes on to say, man, my brothers are angry at me. I've been taking care of their vineyards. I have neglected my own. I don't have it together. I'm dried out, my son. I got too much sun. I'm a mess. You know, I come to you, though. You love me. I come as I am. I admit my deformities. You got it all together, Lord. But I'm a mess. Entering into his love. Accepting his love. Admitting, you know, how she fell short, her failures, her shortcomings, her weaknesses. He brought us to his banqueting table. He brings us to. You know, we had the smelling salt before our nose. We come alive. He does that. He brought us to his table. I thought of Mephibosheth. How Mephibosheth was Jonathan's brother, son, and he was crippled. And David said, is there any more relatives of Jonathan? He said, well, Mephibosheth, he's crippled. I'll let him come to my table. He ate with David every day. Crippled. Shortcomings. You know, spiritually retarded. How weak we are. Our failures. We can come. Sit at his table. He brought me country bumpkin. He brought me to his banqueting table. What he does for us, we can come. David says, because he remembered his covenant with Mephibosheth, based upon his covenant, with Jonathan, based upon his covenant, Mephibosheth was welcome at his table. He says, his banner over me is love. You know, she gives this picture. I'm a beloved, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. Got a banner over it like a flag flying. It's love. It's not religion. It's not morality. It's not based upon my performance. When I went with TMC for the first month after I got my truck driver's license, everything was performance-based. They graded you by points. Everything you did. You know, if you're out of route, how much gas you use, how long it took you, if you were late for a delivery, and you were graded. And every, you know, so many periods they grade you, and then that's how much you get paid by based upon your performance. It was performance-based, but it isn't with us. The banner over our head is love. It's God's grace. He loves us. It's based upon what he did for us. He loves us. He invites us. He has claim over us. His banner over me is love. I was reading about the Passover lamb. You know, back when Moses, you know, God told Moses the way to be protected from judgment. When you take the lamb, you slaughter the lamb, place the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. And then the Bible says that God said, when I see the blood, it's what he sees, not what we think about God's grace. It's about God's grace. His banner over me is love. When God sees the shed blood, he loves us. It's not me. It's not you. It's not your behavior. It's not your performance. It's the work of his son upon the cross. It's grace. When I see the blood, it's what God sees. The banner over me is love. It's not my ideas of his grace. It's not my feelings of his grace. It's not my state of worthiness. It's not my value or estimate of his grace. It's God's estimate of his grace. When God sees the blood, it's God's perspective. He values the blood. Thus, banner over me is love. He loves me. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. His shed blood. The value of his shed blood. all he's done for us. He's for us, the Bible tells us. He's for me. His desire is for me. He's brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He loves me. He delivered me. He freed me. His banner over me is love. The Bible tells us how he looks at us with eyes of compassion, with eyes of love. Then we have the response of love. Look in chapter 4, verse 16. The beginning, the Shulamite woman responding to his love. Oh man, I'm a country bumpkin. He's invited me. He loves me. I love him. In verse 16, awake, O north wind, and come, O south, blow upon my garden that its spices may flow out. It's like indicative of saying, Holy Spirit, change my heart. Make me new. Submitting to that. Accepting it. Diving in it. I'm yours, Lord. I'm all yours. You bought me. You have more than claim over me. I belong to you. Purchase me. May the wind blow and change me. May fragrance come out as a result. A willingness of heart, felt love. Let the Holy Spirit change my life. Bring forth fragrance. The next part of that verse, notice in verse 16, let my beloved come to his garden and eat its pleasant fruits. I belong to you, Lord. I give myself to you. You know, Jesus said we're to bear fruit. We're to bear fruit for one another. We're to bear fruit for him. The Bible tells us that we were created by him and for him, for his pleasure. Here's the Shulamite woman coming into that. Take my life, eat the fruit, change my heart. Use me, take me. I'm yours. I am here for your pleasure. Eat the fruit to give myself. The Bible says that Christ gave himself. Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. You know, that goes on to, in Ephesians, says to present her, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Why Christ gave himself for us? We'd be holy. We respond and give ourselves to him. Be holy, separated unto him, for him, and without blemish. And then finally, in the book of Revelation, I've got two more verses. Jace, can you go get the kids? They're going to sing a song for us at the end. Yeah. Chapter 21, book of Revelation. You know, he brought me to his banqueting table. One day we will come. In truth, this is going to be fulfilled to the marriage feast of the Lamb. The Bible tells us in chapter 21, look in verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. One day. The presentation of the church to Christ as a bride without blemish, a glorious church. Look in verse 9, chapter 21. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. It's us. You know, it's not what I think about myself. It's what he thinks about us. It's his value over us. We're his bride, his church, his love. Let's stand. Roseanne and I go back and forth. Not as, you know, often enough. You know, like the two sitting on the porch. Oh, Henry, tell me something gushy about me. She says, oh, I like your hands. You can fix anything. And I say, you're the greatest mother that ever walked the earth. Happy Mother's Day. But the encouragement, the going back and forth, the praising and the loving and the worship and the honor and the attention and the giving of ourselves to Him is what He wants. The inner end, it's a love relationship. Hey, that's what He sees. He sees a flag flying over our head. He's mine. I love Him. Not what I see, it's what He sees. She enters into that love. Lord, help us. Respond. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for this love song. And Lord, we ask that it would pierce our heart, that we would see, Lord, what You see, how much You love us, and all the abundance that You've invited us to take part in and of. Lord, we praise You for Your us belonging to You, and You belonging to us as Your bride, the church. You're our Savior, our Lord, our husband. And one day, Lord, we're going to be one. And Lord, we do praise You. We thank You. Thank You for Your word. We ask that You do have Your way in our hearts, that the wind would blow. We would welcome what You're doing, difficult times, trials, to bring forth fragrance. For we belong to You, not ourselves. And Lord, let us accept Your plan, Your will, with a willing heart of heartfelt love. Let the banner fly, Lord, according to Your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.